Everybody on this episode of the Cooligans, oh my God, whoa, suddenly the U.S. men's national team's like really good again.
Okay.
Wow, I didn't say the other word to avoid what we also talk about.
Dominating in CONCACAF. Also, we're going to be joined by Mitya Ilinich of New York City FC, the fullback, comes on to talk about the upcoming Hudson River Derby playoff. It's going to be absolutely sick. Please hang out with us. Thank you so much. Tune in.
So I went to dinner with a friend and two other friends who I'd never met before. Okay.
Two other friends, but they're not your friends.
They are
never
now.
Met them. Okay.
They are now. Well, I'm very charming.
I'm just very, you know, 3 seconds in, I'm like, well, okay, well, how do you know each other? You're lying about something.
Everybody knows each other. We've never met before. Okay. So there's four of us, right?
Gotcha.
I'm cool with one person.
Right.
I became cool with the other two throughout the dinner, but a conundrum happened. I got there a little bit late, okay? Because I thought we were going to a different place. So I got there about 10 minutes late. By the time I got there, they had already ordered. But they're all chefs. So they pretty much just say, we'll take the whole menu, right?
Gotcha.
It was a collab between two restaurants. So it was a small menu. They pretty much ordered one of everything, right? So I got there. I had no input. The first thing they put on the table is arancini, which are those little fried rice balls, risotto balls, right? Southern Italy. They're small. There's three of them. There's four of us. How do you handle that?
I would imagine you split, you and your friend.
Split one.
The official friend.
Yeah.
You follow each other on Facebook.
This is the first dish, so this is right now my only friend.
You probably split that, and then
we split one.
The strangers have their own, a full one.
Here's what they did. They also split one, because they saw us split one.
Okay.
Now there's one left.
Ah.
What do you do?
Split into four.
You can't, it's too small.
Okay, you do Lady and the Tramp. You put it all,
all four.
You put the ball in the middle, and all four of you take a little bite.
That
would have
been better than what happened, which is it just stayed there.
Ah,
it just stayed there the whole time, getting cold.
And a homeless person was watching it,
just like, in the window.
Everybody was like, "No, we can't. There's already too much tension between us four.
We're now five. How are we going to do that, bro?" It just sat there until the mains came, and then they did the. Does anybody want this? Oh, you take it. If it was me, you, and some other people I knew, I'd be like, give me that extra. But I couldn't do it. And it just sat there. Yeah. We have to stop doing three for a table of four.
Now that you said.
Just say, you want me to add an extra? I'll charge you a little more.
Now that you said it was you and three chefs, it feels like this, an Italian meetup. And then when you say, now the mains came, it sounds like your wives all showed up.
Get out of here, chefs. My wife found out where I am.
Anyway, okay. Yeah.
It's a real conundrum.
A tough problem.
What do you do in those ones? Are you a let someone else eat? Or
honestly,
do you be like,
it feels like the most challenging thing going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
So
when you look at the landscape, I think what I'm
glad
doing is true.
Finally, we get to talk about something like that. What would I do? I'm not a. This is not a problem to me because I do not care about this.
Yeah, but see, you're not a food person. Most food people would be like, you could take
Charlie Davis is calling.
I don't want to pick it up because God forbid he says something.
Tell him, man.
Yo, you're on the podcast.
Yo,
that stopped you from saying something wild. I'm gonna call you when I'm done.
Wait, hold on. Before he hangs up, Charlie, what about this secret game with Travis Scott that the Cooligans were not invited to? What happened there?
Yeah, I don't know why. The invitation must have got lost in the mail.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what happened. He did get kicks out of it. He got a free pair of kicks.
All right. Well, that doesn't make me feel any better.
All right. I'm going to call you back. Peace.
Okay. That is our Charlie Davies segment sponsored.
Charlie Davies break of the week.
Sponsored by Rice Balls. So thank you. Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Alexis is just texting.
I know.
Charlie.
I thought he texted. I was like, what did he say? Jesus.
We are the Cooligans right here on Yahoo Sports. For huge, exciting show today because, okay, the button budget has been completely used
up. We've diminished it.
We have no more money left.
Damn. We need button allocation money. Bam.
Bam will be great, bro. We have an exciting show today. We have a lot to discuss. U.S. men's national.
You always say that. Are you ever going to say we don't have an exciting show?
I mean, it'd be one day.
One day?
It'll come up. I'm just going to be like, hey, bro, we got nothing.
Maybe it's one of the episodes I'm not here. You know what I mean?
Okay. But we have we're going to talk U.S. men's national team and a bunch of other stories. But we're also joined by the right back for New York City FC, Mitja Ilinic, will be joining us to talk about the shush heard all around Ohio.
Oh, it's hard to hear a shush.
Okay, it's like an oxymoron, bro. But yeah, Mitja Ilinic will be joining us just a little bit to talk about the upcoming Hudson River Derby this Saturday, bro, in the MLS Cup playoffs.
And yo, stay tuned because he takes us for a walk around Slovenia, bro.
All right, it's gonna be love. You're gonna learn a little bit about Central Europe.
It's educational. You feel me?
But yes, we have to start today with the U.S. men's national team. Their win against Jamaica, resounding win. The two goals from Jamaica almost feel like it was close. The game was closer than it actually was.
I think that's something, though, that, you know, Mauricio Pochettino should talk to the team about, because you got to close out these matches against a better team, against a team who didn't lose their passports, allegedly. You know what I mean?
I mean, did we mention it last week? On Monday, we mentioned
it. We talked about it.
We talked about
You believed it.
I do believe it, but then
me and Carter were like, yo, you must be crazy.
But so Mikel Antonio, and I forgot the other player's name, but he, so, you know, after you said, like, no, that I don't think that's what happened, I was, like, looking more into it. And so Mikel Antonio and the other player, I believe, play on the same team? Or in the same league, or where I forgot exactly the details.
I have no idea. But I don't remember the other player's name. That's why I can't.
But they might be on the same team. I could be wrong. But the I believe they're both in England, though. Mm-hmm. So it seems a little fishier, the connection between. So
how you leave the country without your passport, bro?
Which I mean, look, I assume they lost it. What's the update, Carter?
Yeah, they both play in England.
They both play, but not on the same team.
No, Kaheem Dixon plays for Charlton Athletic.
Mm. Gotcha. Okay. So the I don't know any, like, so basically all I'm saying is that after you said that you didn't believe it, then I saw more people saying that they didn't believe it.
I don't think I might be the only person who believed it.
I'm just like completely.
All you did was open your eyes.
Naive to this. But
you're just a good dude. I think
it apparently just continues to highlight the issues that the Jamaican Federation is having with their players. And we've seen Leon Bailey talk about this, about not being paid and not being paid on time.
Antonio said that when he first got there, he went to the airport believing that there was a ticket for him.
Right.
And they were like, nah, why don't you just get it and we'll pay you back. And then he's like, you know, you're not getting money
so,
back.
Clearly, there's a lot of issues going on. But this game, you know, played in St. Louis. The U.S. clearly has a much bigger advantage, especially they played in Kingston and a 1-0
at
win.
The office. To win at the office is not, that's what they call it.
That's what they call it, the office.
Bro.
I love it.
That's fire, right?
Damn, bro. The people, Jamaicans, they don't want to work from home. No. Now they go to the office.
After that loss, they should play the theme song from the show, The Office.
I mean, why aren't more games played in Scranton, Pennsylvania?
Yo, bro.
That's what we need.
Get that Dundee Mifflin FC going, bro.
Yo, as the sponsor, let's go.
That's kind of fire, right?
That'd be kind of dope. Anyway,
I was going to say, I'm excited by what I saw and how this team played.
Yeah.
You know, you got fullbacks, you know, inverting and overlapping, and Joe Scally went forward and didn't look completely lost.
Mm-hmm.
We had, what's his name? Mark McKenzie looking to make line-breaking passes. We had a freedom up front. Way on the left because he did some eye test, man. He got the
ocular.
What was it? Ocular.
I have the article. I'll pull it up on screen.
It's a tennis thing they do. It's like a tennis thing they do that Pochettino or somebody at US Soccer was like, yo, let's get these boys doing eye tests.
Apparently, so it's something called eye dominance.
Eye dominance. He's left eye dominant.
He's left eye dominant. I love TLC as well, bro. Mm,
damn, there's a reference for the kids. All right. We're super young, dude.
We're young people.
Yo, people like the TV channel. Even that's an old reference now.
But yeah, so apparently, the question was, why was Tim Weah on the left side? Because he normally plays on the right.
Right.
As a right and winger.
Pochettino said, because I know something about him y'all don't know.
And I got to find the actual quote. But so there was essentially a line about the, what is it, dominance? Let me find the...
TNT's broadcast crew. In fact, Melissa Ortiz said that the reason they started him on the left because the coaching staff had made a switch with Weah's left eye dominance in mind, a data point that they include in their player profiles. It's a dominant eye that brings you in a position to feel comfortable with the ball, related Pochettino to reporters later. If you are an offensive player or a defensive player, depending on how you defend, your body shape, always we try to check because we need to understand the player. And if we talk to these guys, we talk with these guys, we try to understand how they are, what they like. Okay, that, none of that makes sense.
That's not too much more detail. But yeah, this is an interesting detail that we've never really heard.
What about Howard? I think I'm right eye dominant.
I think I would assume right eye. I don't even know what this exactly means.
Close one eye and try to read those words, and then close the other. Well, which one's sharper?
Is that sharpness? I mean, both seem perfectly fine. I can read them fine with regardless of what eye. Right. I don't think this is the test that Pochettino put through.
I don't think it's just a guy going, "I what about now?" I'm pretty sure it's pretty medical. Hey,
blink with your right eye right now. Let's see what you can do.
Right, I'm gonna punch you from the left. See if you feel it coming. And like, I don't think we hired a professional.
Mauricio, bro. What?
Is this just your cousin, Mauricio?
I don't know if this is science. So that was an
copay.
I don't know. That was an interesting move, seeing him there on the left. But then he scores that goal,
can I be honest? Triple G don't know nothing about no eye dominance, bro.
He puts his eyes on sneakers. That's all he cares about, bro.
He's just too busy on StockX. He's on the SNKS app, bro.
So,
is it SNKRS?
SNKRS.
It's sneakers app, but it's such a dumb app. I've deleted it off my phone. I never win.
Okay. I was a little, confused about it. Uh-huh. But, and then when he scores that goal. Like, all right, he's right eye dominant.
Yeah, it works.
But Pochettino is a genius. I know, now
left eye dominant.
Now all these other teams are gonna be copping, bro, what the U.S. men's
national team. Taking notes, bro, trying to learn about eye dominance.
You don't talk about eye dominance. Now you talking about it?
Now, Pep.
Word for word, bar for bar.
After four losses, suddenly you wanna know?
So
maybe it's the shine off your dome, my G.
a big win, man. This is
huge. But it's not just the win, it's the style of play. It's the way they went after Jamaica, who's traditionally been a very difficult, competitor for us, and plays was very difficult and really muddies up the water, makes it hard for us to play the way we want to play. Pulisic looking good centrally. Pepe. For a lot of people, putting himself at the top of the list of nines.
Yeah, the conversation.
The power rankings on the nines.
I've been seeing a lot of the conversation, a lot of the talk is, doesn't matter how healthy Balogun is, doesn't matter how healthy Josh Sargent is, Ricardo Pepe should be the nine.
Josh Sargent has, I think, gotten a lot of opportunities and not shined. I'm not saying it's over for him. I'm just saying he got to prove something if he ever gets back in that starting position.
Totally.
Pepe better prove something to me. He just now has to start at his club.
Sure.
I don't know how you do that when the guy in front of you is the leading goal scorer and the captain. It's not easy.
It's looking like, all the chatter now is about Ricardo Pepe.
You've been on chatter this week, bro.
Chatter is a
big thing. You got ear to the street.
I got my ear to the ground.
You hear, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. He's like, yo.
Bro, I'm putting a cup to my ear and putting it on walls, bro.
Yeah, and your girl's like, why are you doing that? That's our neighbor's bathroom. That wall goes to our neighbor's bathroom. I'm just trying to pay attention for the podcast, bro.
There's a lot. There might be transfer news on the other side of that wall.
You don't know. What are they up to?
So, a lot of the news about Ricardo Pepe is that there a lot of clubs are interested in him. And I don't know if it is the...
Pulisic also. Have you heard Pulisic got
agents,
some rumors?
Agents are like, yo, talk about my guy.
You might want to be starting.
Yo, I heard Real Madrid are looking after him, bro.
No, it's crazy.
So
and other clubs, you really can't go anywhere from Real. After Real Madrid, there's nowhere to go. Real Madrid, biggest club in the world, bro, is after.
Not only Real Madrid, also Shanghai Shenhua, bro.
Damn.
They're after him, bro.
Bro.
So, yo, I just know the style. It's gonna be they're gonna be a bidding war.
Bro, Tokyo FC. asking about him.
They're after him. So the I don't necessarily. It still feels like Balogun is the, as far as having the skills, the skill set.
But hold on, what skills? Because we don't know exactly what Pochettino is asking. I believe that Balogun is number one if Greg Berhalter is the manager, because the link-up play, that false nine ability, you know, the ability to sort of, but Pepe can take on a defender. Pepe's a little bit more goal dangerous. Pepe puts himself in spaces to get better shots. From what we've seen with the national team, that might be what Pochettino wants. We all keep talking about Balogun being at the top of this list, but that was some Greg Berhalter, like, you know, era stuff.
I would say Pepe feels like he has the skill set of a more traditional striker, and I think he has.
He's also a bit more erratic, which I kind of like.
I wouldn't describe it that way necessarily.
Like, you don't know exactly what he's going to do. Balogun, you kind of get a sense for what he's trying to do. He's just so good he can do it.
But Balogun almost has a skill set of a winger and a striker. Mm-hmm. He's just a little bit better, I think, on the ball. And I think he's a little bit better at even going. If he was out wide and going 1v1 against a defender, 100%. I think he would be better there. But there's that finding the right moment. Pepe is just a little bit better there, and just like being a little bit more goal threatening.
Absolutely.
And
he's also really good at the press. Pepe starts that press off. I mean, he scored a goal based off of that.
So I think it's a valid discussion. Also, we have to talk about Tanner Tessman, who was also
so good.
Spectacular in this game as well. The dummy that he laid off the ball to. He essentially started that play. But he is also a player, and this is where I don't know how excited to get, because it is Jamaica, and Jamaica having all these issues, and the players don't have passports and all this other stuff. But to across these two games, I liked what I saw.
You know, in the second match, he had 99% pass accuracy. He missed one pass.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't care who you're up against. That's really impressive.
Sure. So he had a
That thing he does where he gets the ball and he turns. Not just under pressure, but he turns in a direction where he can see the majority of the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And he lays off a good pass after that, as opposed to getting it, not knowing or not feeling the pressure, which I think happens to a lot of midfielders in his position. And you sort of make that safe pass back, and then you check.
Sure.
You know, like, boom, boom, I give it back to you. This buys me an extra second. He's prepared in that moment. He takes a turn into pressure, and he often makes a pass that breaks lines. I'm really impressed with what Tanner Tessman has been able to do. And you could tell that step going to Serie B, you could tell, or Serie B, you could tell that he developed into a player that can do this now. I don't think he had that the last time we really saw him with the men's national team.
Yeah.
Getting that move to Lyon, I think, has been amazing. Hopefully everything settles over there. I know they've just been given a provisional relegation, which, again, might not happen. It's provisional, right? It's like, yo, get your money right, mm-hmm. or else you're going down. Hopefully he could stay up or maybe get a move to another team. I think he warrants it.
How do you say get your money right in French, bro? Yeah, I'm sure that's what they told them.
Let me ask, bro. Hey, Siri, how do you say in French, get your money up?
In French, get your money up is obtenez votre argent.
Boom.
Obtenez votre argent.
There it is,
bro. Now you know what to do. Leon was confused until I said that. Leon was like, put it in a way that I can understand, bro.
Love it. We're talking about Tanner Tessman, and I think just the sort of improvement, or just like great performances that we're seeing from the U.S. men's national team in the Pochettino era. I love this comment from Tim Weah, referring to how he did and how he's doing this game, and he said, "Quote: Honestly, it's the coach." We kind of just listened to what his instructions were in training, and we applied it to the field. He gives us the freedom to play every time. And this
feels like a shot.
Every single time there's a new coach, and this is said, this always feels like, I've heard this a lot. He gives us the freedom to play. Was Greg not giving them the freedom to play? What is
walking around with a bamboo stick? Did you? Hey, what? Stop it!
No freedom here.
Follow the rules.
No freedom to play. It's such a strange. Maybe it's simply when there's a new coach and there's a new system and things are just a little bit different. Maybe there is a sense of freeness, of liberation.
Right.
But
there is also, like, you can't compliment the new coach without it feeling like you're taking a shot at the old
coach.
Without
a doubt. You know? And even at this game, Greg Berhalter and Bruce Arena were at the game. Did you see them?
I did see that.
Yeah, they look unhappy.
The two exes at the game, bro. That's crazy.
And they put them in a suite together.
Man, bro, if your exes start getting along, you the baddie. You the one who messed up.
The other big talking point in this game was obviously the after Pulisic's first goal, the celebration, right? The Trump dance, everybody's losing their minds over. And this is
I know it went kind of viral in the NFL.
it did go viral. It's been going. It's a TikTok trend and whatever. You know, ever since the election, I want to give a shout out to Jeff Reuter because he wrote an article on The Athletic about this, and I appreciated the perspective because there is something to be said about. You know, the as soon as people say, hey, you know, a lot of people were like mad at Pulisic for doing this dance. And it wasn't just him, it was a few of the other players. But the initial thing is like, oh, the libs are crying. It's just a dance. It's just a meme or whatever. And then so that's throughout the game. That was the conversation. We're all watching it and everybody's just sort of arguing on Twitter about it. But then after the game, the comments from Pulisic were basically, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he was like, it was just a dance. I thought it was funny. I saw NFL players doing it and stuff like that. And it's
he said, I know Trump created it, but it has nothing to do
with
that.
It has nothing to do with that, which is like, I mean.
Feel free to believe it or not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I mean, I think most people who are aware of like, you know, the whether it's like the years of what posts certain people like and blah, blah, blah. We all sort of know. And that's not even that big of a deal to me per se. But I think it's the, I was talking to Carter about this before, about like the, in comedy, what tends to happen is if you tell a joke that maybe has, you know, let's say it has a racial undertone or it might be ironically racist or it might be ironically sexist or something, anything along those lines.
Even if you're doing it like you're saying ironic, like you're making a joke to show how dumb this is, thought process is.
Sometimes people laugh at the racism or the sexism in it, which is like, and that is like in comedy, like we work with that. We like, all right, this joke works. This is why this joke works. This is why this joke doesn't work or whatever. And it's not necessarily a like, I'm not here saying, hey, he shouldn't do the dance. I'm not saying that at all.
Dance however you want.
It is the comments afterwards that are like, no, it's not political. It's just, and it's like, all right, bro. But you know, when it's like, when the Clay Travises of the world are like, yeah, America is back. We're doing, and it's like, all right, but you know what? So we know what the dance is. Like, we just had Charlie Davies on the show. If the stanky leg was created by
Kim Jong-un, like,
we would be like, yo, Charlie. Yo. Like, I don't know. I mean, the dance is dope. And when Kim Jong-un does it, it's like he's looking fly.
Yeah.
But
you understand what this means, though, right?
You understand what it means. Like you're kind of emboldening the sort of whether it's anti-immigrant rhetoric, whether it's sexism, whether all this other.
Like if the gritty had been invented by Vladimir Putin, why after he won, you know, Donetsk, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't be grittying after a goal.
You'll be thinking about it a little bit,
unless you hated the Ukraine.
So that's the thing. It's like, I would rather Pulisic be like, yeah, I did the dance because that's my guy.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, but you can't do the... It's
own
not,
it, is what you say.
Yeah, it's not political. Let's like be for real.
Right.
And that's the... And even...
It's also kind of just the dance. It's not like he wore the symbol or something. You know what I mean? Like
Right. But it's also the dance is jerking off giraffes, right? Yeah. It's a bad dance. Right. I mean, let's not be...
You know, I got to be honest with you. Never really thought of it that way.
That's what it is. It's not a great dance.
Right.
There's better dance.
That's the inspiration?
For the culture, it's not a great dance. But that's the thing. It's like the worst people are so happy that you did that dance.
Yeah.
And that is the part where you're like, you're not taking responsibility for that at all. Where you're like, all right.
Right.
It's like, and it's also NFL players doing it. I don't love it, but I'm like, I kind of get the irony. It's like a comic. I mean, I get the irony that they could possibly
some of those
be doing-
guys weren't doing it ironic either.
Some of them not, right? You know, Nick Bosa is not doing it ironically, right? But I understand the context of it. I'm like, they could be doing this ironically, but then when the captain of the U.S. men's national soccer team is doing it, you can't remove the context of like what your country represents.
Right.
We're hosting a World Cup. Whether you love Trump or not, this we have to work under the guidelines of everything that he has said and how people will perceive it. So that's the thing that's sort of annoying, that it's like, nah, bro, there's nothing
what
about
what you talking about?
We're just dancing or whatever. And like, and that's the part where I feel like it's a little disingenuous and corny.
Yeah.
So.
I think if you're, other than just scoring goals or winning games, if the Corbin Alberts family is happy for you, you've done something. You've stoked the fire, you know?
See who's liking your posts, bro.
Yeah, dog. When they're calling you Diego Maradona, you know what I mean? I gotta be honest with you. You might have claimed the side.
People coming back with the NRA Mar.
Yeah,
that's a big one. What's it? Oh, so I saw another one. Xenophobic Zidane or something like that. I saw that one. That was a good one. But that's it. That's the jokes that are gonna come at you. So,
and you know, Pepe was like, "What are we doing?" Pepe was like, "What is this?"
There's like eight players on this team that might have trouble making this squad if we all adopt Trump's policy. So, look.
Oh my God, how will denaturalization affect the men's national team? We gotta talk about
That's it. So you gotta be responsible for that as well. Just like we have to be responsible for our jokes and how people it resonates with people. That's all I'm saying. So anyway,
unless you want to be 10 toes like Christian said,
go for it, bro. At least we know. Let us know, bro.
Stand on business, bro.
Yo, it's gonna be Pulisic and Jeff Cameron. Yeah. on did you hear that the Onion bought
Yeah. Probably not for this show, yeah.
But I don't know, but back then, who knows? Yeah. Anyway,
Alexi Lawless.
But look, With that said, Pochettino's doing a great job.
Yeah,
Pulisic explained great, and we love what's happening.
Yeah, Pochettino's like, ¿qué baile? ¿Qué pasó?
Exactly. All right, we got to move on. We got to get to our convo with Mitja Ilinic and talk about the Hudson River Derby this weekend.
We got to shush.
Maybe we shushing some Rebel fans. I don't know.
Also, should we maybe have a little surprise or something?
I mean, look, Mitja, I think
he deserves it.
Here it is. Here's our convo with New York City FC fullback Mitja Ilinic. Absolutely honored to be joined by our next guest because not only,
legend, yo.
I've been doing this at home.
Bro, I did this and my wife smacked me. I mean, it didn't work out the same.
We've been shushing.
I was like, not to you, babe.
We've been shushing the wrong people.
I was just in the room flexing.
But absolutely honored to be joined.
In fact, we should do it. You should carry me like he got.
like Matt carried him. Just absolutely iconic. If you saw game three of the MLS first round, New York City FC against FC Cincinnati, you saw the game-winning penalty taken by this young man, the Slovenian international.
Let's go.
Absolutely honored to be joined by New York City FC fullback, Mitja Ilinic. What's up, brother? How are you doing?
Just finished training. Good vibes. The weather is not good, but yeah, just... Just good vibes, I would say. It's been a really good week behind us. And yeah, we are going strongly motivated into the weekend.
Okay. That's all you can ask for.
That's all you can ask
strongly
for.
Strongly motivated.
And I just got to say, you know what?
Honestly, it feels off.
I appreciate your answer, but something feels a little bit off. I feel like something's missing from our set, from this show, from this interview. So we actually invited a couple of folks.
Just to make it feel a little bit more at home in here.
Exactly.
Know what I mean?
Because we have the Hudson River Derby coming up. And big shout out to Third Rail for bringing...
Let's put that bad boy right here.
We have Andrew
Let's put
Tucker
that bad boy right here.
And Danny Chediak.
What's up?
We have Third Rail, the president and vice president of Third Rail, that have brought the Hudson River Derby trophy to our studio to do this interview.
Why would we have it, though? Is it maybe because New York City FC owns us right now?
So thank you, guys. I really appreciate you guys bringing the trophy by. So now we can get this interview done in a little bit better fashion. So Hudson River Derby coming up this weekend, Saturday, big playoff game. The first time New York City FC and Rebel will be facing each other in the playoffs. Mitja, I mean, let's just get right to it because obviously a lot is on the line. Look, as fans, we can tend to be a little bit nervy and excited and everything. But how are you feeling about the matchup this Saturday?
Actually amazing, to be honest. Really pleased for what's going on right now. It's been a couple of good moments behind us. Like I said, we are just showing character, I would say. Just being a team. And yeah, it's really like positive going into the weekend because this game obviously brings more, and this is the games you live for as a soccer player, you know. So it's yeah, like I said, I'm really pleased to be able to be part of this, and we all know also what this means for you, for our fans. So we will do everything in our power to get that trophy again.
Now, obviously, MLS is a little different than probably, you know, the Slovenian leagues and stuff and leagues in Europe where we have playoffs, right? It's a little different. In order to play well here or to win here, you have to start to play well towards the end of the season. And New York City FC has done exactly that. You guys have built momentum at the right time. You guys have bonded as a team. We saw what Justin Hawk do this, and we saw you do this to the Cincinnati fans. Clearly, the team has bonded together. Talk to me about how that season has progressed and how you guys have sort of bonded towards the end.
You know, I would say it was many ups and downs this year. Like we started pretty slow, pretty bad. Then we turned the winning ways on our side. Then it was a little bit like wins, losses. So yeah, like I said, it's really important for us to be in a form now. Really feels good, and yeah, there is no other thing to go in the game motivated and. Like I said, super happy to be part of this.
Yeah, the I do want to talk about the game against FC Cincinnati. Obviously, you know, in game three, you know, you get the start, and there is, I mean, look, the game itself was such. I mean, it felt like this chess match of just two teams.
Too much tension
because you've already played each other, you know, two times. And then obviously you've had, you know, good matches in the regular season.
Yeah, they
played
like five times in the last month.
Right. And then you scored your first goal for New York City FC against FC Cincinnati. So back, you know, a familiar foe. But can you talk a little bit about the game and then also the penalties? Because this is what, as New York City FC fans, we've experienced ridiculous penalties, and we don't want that as much as I know you guys don't want that, of just the highs and lows of penalties. But what in the world happened in those penalties, and how can you explain it, and how did you walk up to the penalty spot in that moment and bury that penalty with everything that had just happened?
First time in my young career something like this happened, to be honest. Yeah, I think I was like 18th player, if I'm correct. So like, this is, wow, it was crazy. It was crazy, like a roller coaster of emotions. When you think you got it, you don't got it. So it's like, yeah, I actually did not expect to go shoot. Before the game, I was more than ready to do it. My confidence was really high, so I did not have problem with this, but you know, I just did not expect it to go that far. And yeah, what can I say? Then my opportunity came. I was really, really, really relaxed, really confident. And the moment when I saw the ball in the net, it was even more sweeter because the goalkeeper tried to talk to me something.
That's what this meant.
But it was it that to him or to the fans? Because I've heard it was both.
No, it was to the fans because they were making some, I can't say this word, but they were making like some noises. So yeah, just try to make them quiet. Thanks God I did it. But yeah, goalie, like actually, I don't know how can I describe this. Like he was not comfortable speaking to me, you know, it was like shy laugh. And yeah, he just told me, no chip, you'll miss it. And I just say, yeah. And then I took the ball and put it in the...
No. I know what I'm about to do.
I love it because, I mean, you're a young guy, man. I mean, you know, this
You think you could get in the head of a young player. But...
Yeah, I mean, where does some of that confidence come from? Because, you know, it's perfectly understandable for a 19-year-old to be a little bit uncomfortable or nervous or...
Especially being the 18th kick taker.
So where does that kind of confidence come from? I mean, is there something about your upbringing or coaching is that got you to this place to feel comfortable in that moment?
I would say, you know, like if we go back to when I came here, I just turned 18 when I come into the biggest city in the world, like the best city in the world. And there is many traps here. Like you really need to be careful. You need to be confident. You need to be mature. And if I compare myself this year to last year, like the mature level is just like the different level, I would say. So yeah, like it's tough when you need to take all of things on yourself by yourself. So I think this is like also outside of the pitch, something that really prepared me for this. And then, yeah, when you're on the pitch, I was just happy for the opportunity. But yeah, there is no sorry. You know, when the opportunity comes, you need to take it. If not, there is other players. And yeah, thanks God, I take it, and just super happy to be able to help my team, you know, because it really, really means a lot to see all of the cheering, all of the happiness after. So yeah, just strongly confident
and,
going with.
And that photo of Matt Freeze picking you up and you shushing the crowd. Is that your phone wallpaper right
that's
now?
That's iconic.
That's a great photo.
It's not my wallpaper. I have my family on my wallpaper, but
they'd understand.
I would
if you say
it's
it.
The best photo. Despite my family in my gallery, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
You need Matt Freeze to pick up every member of your family and they shush. And then that could be your wallpaper.
Fly him over.
It's like the official Illinich photo.
It's the Christmas, the holiday photo for the Illinich family.
I will hang you on the Christmas tree in the Christmas tree.
He picks up the Christmas tree shushing.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt Freeze doesn't pick everything up in your family. Talk to me about having that moment, though. Someone who's young and getting an opportunity to shine with a lot of pressure on you, you sinking it. How do you celebrate that? Do you just hang out with the other players? Do you go get, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, Strukli? Like, what do you do?
I don't know what that is. What is it?
It's like an apple thing from Slovenia. I've had it before. It's pretty good.
It's very good. Strudel. Yeah. It's very good.
Strugel.
Oh, okay.
How do you celebrate?
Paul, what can I say? Like, after everything that happens, you need to be aware that it's not over, you know. You need to stay humble, be the same. It's not like this was already in the past. So we are looking forward to doing the next things, to do the bigger things, because now we are in a semifinal and it's a huge game for us, to be honest. It's a huge game.
Yeah. Any added pressure with the fact that it's a big rival?
I say it's pressure. It's just like even more fuel for the motivation and just to fly out there, you know, like even with our fans behind our back. Wow, this will be huge.
Yeah. We were talking about Matt Freeze and the photo and everything, but can you talk a little bit about, you know, just being a defender and having Matt Freeze on your team, because he has been such an important part to this team. I mean, you also mentioning, you know, this season and the roller coaster and the ups and downs, but Matt Freeze has really had a hand in the games, especially in the wins. He has stopped some unbelievable shots this season, and just having a goalkeeper making those types of saves as a defender, how does it help the team? How does it help your own confidence as well?
He's just amazing. What can I say? Like, I don't think there is too many words needed to be said, but this guy is really like, it really feels good to have him behind on the goal, you know, because sometimes you let the opportunity for the other team that they create the opportunity, because obviously now we're in a spot where every team has quality, you know. So there is sometimes periods in the game when you need Freeze to make some unbelievable saves. And I would say also this big part why we are where we are, you know, because he's been solid through the whole season, I would say, through the whole year. And yeah, like I said before, he's just amazing.
What about you being a fullback in a team that likes their fullbacks to get forward? That's a big part of your game. Is that as fun? Like, what's more fun, getting an assist or taking the ball off a defender in the last off of a forward from the other team in the last second?
Everything needs to be like to put together. Obviously, you like more assist because you score. You know, that's big. But
yeah. Mm-hmm.
As a defender, your job is first to defend, then to go forward. But yeah, I would say my main quality is to go forward. Like, the numbers of assists, and this was not on my side really this year. It was like now against Cincinnati, first assist of the season. But yeah, I like to be up. When I was younger, I was winger, so I'm trying to carry this blood in myself a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, just
has anyone cool. ever told you have the cadence? I don't know if you know what that word means. Cadence of Jose Mourinho when you speak.
What is that? Do you,
really?
Like, okay, you sound
it's like the cadence, like the way you speak. you sound a little bit like how Jose Mourinho speaks.
Okay.
It's a good thing. That's a compliment.
If it's good, then I take it. No problem.
Yeah. Okay. He's like, I'll take it. Yeah.
All right. He might be one of the most, one of the greatest managers in football in the future. Who knows? Yeah. This is something with, just like playing that the way you play, like even scoring the goal. When you scored that goal against FC Cincinnati, I mean, there is a, what was the exact, the feeling towards that, because there's something, you know, you could see the pride that you had for helping the team and also for yourself in getting that goal. There's something also, can you just talk to about the fullbacks for New York City FC? I mean, Alexis mentioned about getting the fullbacks forward, but, you know, Kevin O'Toole was on the show a couple weeks ago. There's something to the style and profile that New York City FC sort of looks for when it comes to fullbacks, especially these last few years, of just guys that can do a lot and really control the game, control the ball, connect with the other players. So how do you feel that, you fit in to, New York City FC style of play? And then also for your own growth and development, how do you feel about getting to be a part of this project? And how do you feel like it'll help you going forward?
It's huge. It's huge, I would say. Really, as a young player, like I'm 19 years old now, many people don't understand, like, you can't always be on the top. Like, my best years are coming. I'm well aware of this. But I'm trying to do all to be playing very well now, to be at my highest level possible right now. The style, I would say, kind of suit me. This year, we were sharing the pitch with Tavon. It's just super nice to be able to go up and just help the team as much as I can.
I remember maybe somebody asked you this last year, just about your thoughts about why you came to Major League Soccer. What sort of changed from when you first got here to now? Because the league is almost changing every kind of few months, and Messi's here, and all these players and everything. What were the comments before you made the decision to come to Major League Soccer, and what are they now? Because it might be a little bit...
The friend group chat's a little different.
It might be like, hey, I want to get them into Miami tickets or whatever. Like, how's it changed a little bit?
That's basically the biggest thing that has changed. Like before I choose I got many offers from the Europe before. And then when I choose for New York, like there were many, how can I say, like negative comments, negative interactions, but I did not care about this because I knew I choose my path and I was just super confident it will be good. Now believe me, it's very, very different. Like you say, everybody asking for a shirt now. Everybody is asking for Apple TV credentials, to be able to watch the game. It's really, really different now. And I'm just super happy that people can see that I make the right choice. To be honest, I don't care too much what people think, but when you make them quiet, it feels better,
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Talk to me though. You're from, is it Trnavel? What's the?
Trnavel is my hometown, but I am I was growing up in Tribuce. That's like a small village. So I'm basically from Tribuce. In American language, this means three pumpkins.
Three pumpkins.
Yeah.
So everybody it's not a lot of pumpkins.
Everybody joke about this, but I'm from Tribuce. Trnavel is just where I attend school, where I have started my first practices with soccer, and but my home village is Tribuce.
So then you're going from three pumpkins to the Big Apple. it's a big switch. New York City is a massive city, and I know globally everyone knows about it, but there's probably a lot of fear. What did your parents say, or what did your family say when you're going from three pumpkins to New York City?
It was tough choice to take, not for me, because I actually didn't know what will be coming up. Like, you are aware that you are going there, that many things can happen. But for my parents, imagine you're sending your kid 18 years old to the one of the biggest cities in the world, like to the other continent. Like, it's not easy decision for sure, but I'm super, super happy to have them behind my back. They really support me. We call each other every day, so we speak, you know. Now, these days, it's easy. You just call, video call, and it's, you know, it's not too complicated. Yeah, so it was a huge decision to make.
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
What do they send you? What do they send you from home that you miss the most? Like, snacks or any? What is, like, the thing you miss most from Slovenia that you can't get here?
Well, I don't know, like... I was, because like I went away from my home when I was 14. I went to Slovenian first division in an academy. So like I was hour and a half with the car away, but that's practically half of the Slovenia, you know, so it was far for me then. So I would say when I came home for the weekend, I love to take walk with family and dog. I really like this. So this is just, you know, we have a lot of forest there. It's just good for the head, for the mind, to not think about anything else than your dog and your family.
Yeah, you can't walk through Central Park and get the same feel.
Yeah, yeah. Not many Slovenians around. You don't hear Slovenian being spoken.
Yeah.
Incredible. Wait, we had a couple, just a quick things. This is from, after the third rail homies that were here. I was asking them about like, have you met Mitja before? Do you know anything about it? And then one of the things that they mentioned was that when you got here, one of the players that you were closest with that was always taking you around was Malte Amundsen. Was that the case? And now obviously, he's at Columbus. Has anybody replaced that, or are you the New York veteran that is now showing some of the other younger guys around? How have you settled in?
Malte really helped me a lot. We are still in contact now. He got traded last year. So there is like I would say I love my team. I love all of the players. I'm just a positive guy, and like for me, this was never a problem, I would say. But this year I also got two Serbians, so I can speak their language in our communication.
Sure.
So, yeah, and Jovan, he's younger than me, so I need to take a little bit care of him. But Strahinja, he is older, so he's like our dad here, you know, like, so it's, it's pretty nice, you know, it's pretty nice. I was always the youngest, always youngest, but now this year there is also Christian McFarland, he's younger than me, so.
Yeah.
Two guys younger than me, cool. And I'm slowly getting to that veteran spots.
When you have other Slovenians visit, what's the first place you take them to in New York?
Everybody wanna see Times Square, but I tell them it's overrated, you know.
Good. Yeah. You are a proper
real New Yorker. We gotta get you some Tims. This guy's a real New Yorker.
Thank you.
Like for me, I love the most, let's say, to go down to West Village, to go down to Soho. It's
good. That's it.
My guy gets it, bro. You get it, bro.
It's
you a veteran
down
now.
There, you know, you can easily take like some dinner or just like hang out there, take a coffee and basically just watch people going around because it's constantly moving, you know. But Midtown?
Yeah, bro, you lived here for 30 years?
Gets busy.
You get it, bro. Have you lived here your whole life? You're basically a real New Yorker. That in 1 year.
You need to.
Damn.
Two
years. No, yeah. Well done. Now that you've been in Major League Soccer, this your second year, I'm curious about some of the players that you have faced. I mean, been the toughest player you faced? We had a question from one of our fans basically asking, who would you rather defend against, Olivier Giroud or Bouanga or Denis Bouanga? But has there been anybody in particular in the league that you were like, okay, MLS is no joke. There's some proper ballers here that I gotta stay sharp for.
Okay, I could speak now about like these Inter Miami players like Messi and these guys. But I would say before they joined the league. Like there was Insigne, there was like Cucho Hernandez, there were like Shaqiri in Chicago, I remember him. There were many good players. Also, like the first one, basically when I came, we played against LA Galaxy, you know, like Rikvipic, Douglas Costa was there also, Chicharito that time. There has been many, many good players. But as a player, you don't think about this. As a fan, yes, but... As a player, when you share the field with them, you know, if you are gentle, if you are being nice, you know what they will do to you.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
There is no pardon there. When you are on the field, I don't know you, and that's it.
Yeah, there you go.
I love it. I love it.
What was your, did you follow a club growing up? Did you have a club you followed?
You mean the New York City FC?
No. Before when you were growing up,
when you were young, is there a club that you were a fan of that you really followed?
Yeah, I hope it was
New York City. He said New York City. Yeah, we'll take that. But before that,
I was fan of Liverpool. Liverpool FC, to be honest. I really like Trent Alexander-Arnold. Like his way of playing. Like, I think it's really nice. So I would say I'm a fan of Liverpool. Yeah.
Okay.
Trent Alexander-Arnold's not a bad guy. Yeah, if you're a right back.
And just like the coach, Nick Cushing, I'm an Everton fan, so this doesn't feel great right now.
I also like Real Madrid because I'm a huge Cristiano Ronaldo fan, and like all of the years when he was there, I was basically like watching them all the time. Also, if they play against, I don't know, Barcelona or somebody, always rooting for Real Madrid. So yeah,
they're about to play each other in Champions League next week. Who are you rooting for?
Oh, no, Liverpool. Cristiano is more. He's not
Real. Unless Real Madrid wins, and then you back, baby.
No, I'm not like that. No, Liverpool.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, look, Saturday is obviously one of the biggest games.
We'll be there, obviously.
Yeah, we're going to be there at Citi Field. And it, obviously, it's just one of the biggest games that, you know, we're going to attend. And the fact that, you know, you will be a part of it is very exciting. I mean, you know, we've already asked all the questions you could sort of ask about looking forward to this game. I don't know what sort of left. It's like, it's really just...
Well, this might be the first time that the fans are hearing from him, right? Our fans. What do you want New York City FC fans to know about you? And what should they expect to see on Saturday?
I think you can see I'm a like simple, positive, humble guy. Try to be always laughing and making jokes because I think, you know, you make your environment a little bit more relaxed. But what can I promise about the weekend? I will put my body on the line. I will do everything I have. I'm really, really excited to see all of the people in the stadium and yeah, get that trophy again.
It's heavier than it looks.
It's very heavy.
It's pretty heavy. Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Yeah. It's real top heavy, bro. It feels like it's going to spin on you. You got good wrists.
No, so yeah, Hudson Bazaar.
Whatever that muscle is from your arm to your side, I'm very fat. I don't have the muscles. But that, I felt it when I looked at this up. I don't think I've ever felt that muscle before.
Mitya, we're wishing you the best. We're going to be there. It's going to be an exciting game, not just for these two teams, but I think even for the league. I mean, I think it's the most exciting matchup coming up this weekend in the MLS playoffs. So I know a lot of people are going to be tuning in. We're absolutely thrilled. Thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck on Saturday.
And if you win, we'll take you to the West Village for coffee. People watching, it's Strugel.
It's a date.
I'm down.
Yeah, let's go.
Thank you, bro.
No, thank you guys for having me, and yeah, see you at the weekend.
Welcome back to the Cooligans. What an interview, Mitya Ilinich, my guy.
Shout out to Mitya. Shout out to Third Rail, Andrew and Danny, for bringing this lovely award.
Tell me that muscle on your armpit to your lower back.
Some people may not really comprehend. This is easily, this has to be like 25 pounds.
No, but it's good.
20? What's the weight?
It's like 8.
No, it's like 20
That's
pounds.
That's 20 pounds?
This is how you know Alexis does to the gym.
I said it's 8. Y'all need to get your weight up, dog.
It's heavy.
Nothing. Bro, let me borrow this for a week. Wifey about to get a whole new version.
I'm a new man. The Hudson River Derby Trophy.
It is significant. It's also, it's like a shake weight. The weight at the top and the bottom. You know what I mean? Like, here, there's not much. So all if you turn it, your arm suddenly wants to go like this.
An incredible thing. So shout out to Third Rail for bringing it by. Really, really cool. And also,
it's stunning. Whoever made this,
without a doubt. And also, stunning. What's a little tease? What's going to be stunning on Saturday?
Whoa.
Is that TIFO? We got a little
sneak peek. May or may not have seen the TIFO. Let me tell you something. People gonna be talking about it.
Okay. Yeah, get your retweet buttons ready. Oh,
bro,
okay.
Charge your phone before you walk into the stadium.
Start hovering the repost and retweet on all channels.
100%.
Bro.
Yo, be the one to get a good shot at it. You know what I mean?
So just so everybody prepare, if you're on the opposite end of the pitch at Citi Field, get a good photo because this is gonna be one to remember.
iPhone. Go to your iPhone and put it at the highest settings. photos. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You want high res.
Clean your storage space.
Yo, facts. Yo, delete those pictures of your ex, bro.
Look, we're here to help you, okay? Your girl's going to find them.
You need to move on, bro.
You can't.
This is why she left you.
Okay. So, yeah, the TiVo will save your life, okay? Yo, save facts. Your relationship. So, thank you again. All right.
Clear that hidden folder, bro. Sucio.
Alexis is really getting it. He's like, yo, get all the VPNs you need. Clear those VPN accounts.
Yo, facts. Yo, clear that search history, dog.
All right. We're going to wrap up today's show doing some Rapido reactions with the Hudson River Derby Trophy right next
to us. You better have something to say, Hudson River Derby Trophy.
So please weigh in if necessary. Yeah. But Carter will lead the way. Let us know what's
and
up
for first. Those who don't remember, Rapido reactions, we have what, 60 seconds?
90.
90 seconds, and then you're going to hear a little. What are they going to hear? There we go. All right, okay. Stay with me. Someone wake up Carter real quick. Literally looking at me as I'm talking to me, staring at me like, I don't know what are they gonna hear. He's literally making eye contact with me. How is that possible?
All right,
it's like one of my in-laws just staring at me like, when does he shut up?
what do we got first, Carter?
Your first one here is Inter Miami and Tata Martino part ways. Your thoughts?
Okay.
Bro, Tata said ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Done. Tata Martino being done at Inter Miami.
We got 90 seconds, bro. Get into it.
It's shocking. It's a little bit concerning in the sense of, like, he did not have a bad season by any means. The best
The most concerning part is he leaves, and then a day later, after breaking the season regular season record for most points, the greatest team ever in MLS, and then the next day, Wilfred Nancy wins Coach of the Year.
That was an interesting one too. Huh? I was a little bit. I voted for Tata because I usually feel the Supporter Shield winner, the coach of the Supporter Shield winner is the best coach. That's my sort of
especially
rule.
When Messi, your best player, was out for so long. Yeah. I don't know. It's a little sus.
It's a little strange, but he's leaving.
Wilfred Nancy's a great coach, deserves Coach of the Year any year. He's amazing. But this year?
This one was weird. He leaves for personal reasons, which it could be serious.
Maybe like Vinny, bro. He found out last minute he wasn't going to win Coach of the Year. He's like, I can't do this. I'm like, I'm not going back, bro. He pulled a Vinny Jr. He
said, it's hard to sort of make sense of it. And now we talk about who's going to be the coach next. And the name I keep hearing is Xavi. Mascherano.
Yeah, Inter Miami is just going to be Messi and friends at this point, bro. Figure out the TAM.
Messi essentially can effectively pick almost any coach. I've heard Zidane as well. Who knows? So,
I've heard Henri.
All right. What's next?
Next year, we've got Pep Guardiola signing a one-year extension with Manchester City.
Now, damn, what has he heard about the trial?
What does he know? So that is really kind of the main talking point here because his energy this season has been
combative.
He's like, why are you talking to me? Why, you know what I mean? Like, why are you still? I'm not even gonna be here next year,
bro. I don't know.
So this kind of implies that you know, come what is it, January or February, when we get the results of this court case,
right?
With Man City and dealing with all these charges, that maybe they've instilled a little bit of confidence in him that maybe it's not going to be as bad as maybe other people think.
I don't know that. I mean, that's what everyone's talking about. But I actually think this is more of a, you could pay me out for it. Because it's a one-year extension plus another year option. But I think it's more of a, all right, pay me out for the year. But do this so that we can sign the right players in the summer. So that players aren't like, well, I don't want to go there because I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
I think this is a way to keep the club going strong as he leaves. I think he still will leave.
Interesting. I mean, it would be a big news if that is the case, but I can understand.
At the very least, one more year. But I don't think he's going to live out that extension. I think he's going to bow out after one more year. And I think it's because he didn't get the national team job he wanted, maybe. And he realized, like, all right, if I'm not going to coach one of the teams I want to coach in the World Cup,
we'll see. I mean, the international break is over. Club football is back this weekend. We'll see what that the you know, post-match conferences are kind of like with him. And that's what is going to tell me what the future is of
Pep. What do you really know?
All right. What do we got next?
Next, Patrick Vieira joining Genoa.
All right. A lot of coach. Had up be the reactions. Coaches.
Patrick Vieira, who was highly rumored to go to Atlanta, now picks Genoa,
who has Mario Balotelli. And the last time those two were in a room together, it was Patrick Vieira telling them, like, you got nothing to do with this club no more.
Yeah, there was a photo of them walking together in training. Maybe they patched things up. Who knows?
Who knows?
But this is Patrick Vieira, obviously former NYCFC head coach, is someone, I don't know, we met him a bunch of times. He's a very nice guy. Very like a father, the French father you never had. You know what I mean?
He has like a soft authority.
Yeah.
Like a stepdad on a sitcom.
So there's something to him where you want him to succeed anywhere he goes. And he really hasn't had like a fair shake.
Crystal Palace
was like a weird one, and like he wasn't there that long.
He got
kicked by an Everton fan after they stayed.
That's true?
Yeah, remember that?
No,
when they stormed the pitch. Remember Lampard? Yeah, it was exciting. Yeah. Some Everton fans were losing their mind or whatever. Yeah. So he just hasn't had a great time.
Trust those Everton.
He hasn't had a great time wherever he's been. I hope it works out. But like you said, I think the Atlanta United job would have been a.
So who do they hire now? Tata Martino goes back.
Imagine.
Oh my God. I just thought of that.
I don't know. I'm just like, again, the personal reason though, the thing.
Tata Martino goes back and then beats Messi in MLS Eastern Conference Final.
Oh, you mean he changes teams mid playoffs?
Yeah, no. Oh, he goes back and then his team
gets slipped. Got it. Okay.
I'm writing the script. Call me
Garber. Shout out to Patrick Vieira.
All right, next we've got Ecuador with the upset against Colombia in CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers.
Bro, this is not that big of an upset, man.
No, I mean, upset maybe is not the exact word, but if you saw the game, there was a red card in the 34th minute from Ecuador. And in that sense, Colombia at home are going to be like, all right,
yeah,
we good. Another 3 points to add to get to the World Cup. And you got to think both of these teams are probably getting into the World Cup, especially with the expanded teams. And there's a lot more opportunities in CONMEBOL. But some people may have seen the miss from John Cordoba, which a ball from Lionel Messi.
My God. James Rodriguez,
my bad. A pass, just, and it really, I mean, he has to run to the ball. It's just kind of a tap
in. It's almost in his stride.
It's almost in his
stride. Maybe a little far, but not far enough with an open goal in front of
you. If James passes me a ball,
lay out.
I know I'm risking life and 100%. Limb.
You got to lay out for this ball.
And he did not. He kind of tried to take a little bit of a touch.
He had a bad touch and directed
open, it. But this is a completely open goal. All he has to do is just tap it in. There's no goalkeeper in front of him.
It would have been 1-1. Dude, I don't know. Ecuador in the last five matches are absolutely balling. They got 3 wins and 2 draws. Two of those draws are against Paraguay, who's high-flying right now, and Uruguay, who's incredibly good. They beat Peru 1-0, and they beat Bolivia 4-0. And Bolivia's also had a great qualifying. So they're balling. If you go to Colombia's last five, not so good.
Which is a surprise because leading into that...
they lost to Bolivia.
Copa America, they were doing great.
He rang the bell.
All right, sorry.
All right, last year, someone hit the applause for Christian's Dominican Republic qualifying for the Gold Cup.
How did
Cup.
I get in here?
Vamos, lo hicimos, coño, por fin, República Dominicana, en la Copa de Oro. And also in League A of Nations League. So now Dominican Republic will be facing the likes of Mexico, United States, Canada, Jamaica.
Yeah.
Who else? Who am I missing? Panama.
Bro, Dominican Republic. You know who's not in the top division in their Nations League? England. You know who is? Dominican Republic.
Ergo, Dominican Republic is better than England.
I mean, we give you the math.
You know, I'll lay it out for you.
Also, you know what you guys are afraid to talk about? It's Cuba beat St. Kitts and Nevis 4-0. That's 5-2 on aggregate, bro. Y'all, that's crazy. Shouts to Cuba, yo.
This is going to be dope. The DR playing the Gold Cup is going to be an exciting.
The Caribbean, bro.
We out here, dog.
Bro, Caribeños, bro. Balompié.
Junior Firpo made the right decision.
100%, bro.
Yo, DR, they beat...
They lost no passport.
sports.
They won all their games in the Nations League group. They won 6 out of 6.
Mm-hmm.
Scored a whole gang of goals.
Yeah.
This is like they're looking like a real... They're playing,
official.
They're playing proper football out there, bro. Dog. Balompié.
Ya tu sabes.
Bro, I'm absolutely thrilled.
Balompié is back, bro.
Yo, I've been watching them. And yeah, it's an exciting thing. I mean, like we said, the Caribbean is making a case.
Que lo que FC, bro.
Get ready to learn que lo que. That's what I'm telling everybody.
Chimis for all the homies, bro.
All right. Shout out. Thank you, Carter. Rápido Reactions. Another one in the books. Another show in the books. Shout out to Micha Ilinich again for coming through.
What a global superstar he's going to be with that personality.
Good
bro.
Kid. Good kid. You love to see it. And again, Third Rail. If you want to be a member of Third Rail in New York City, thirdrail.nyc, is that the website? Go Third join.
Thirdrail.nyc.
Great people. Some of the best people I've met. I mean, it's like friends I'm going to have for the rest of my life. And, absolutely. You know, we don't say this lightly, you know, when it comes to you're supporting any football club, but New York City FC is the reason the Cooligans exist. It brought us together, going to games, meeting all these different people, traveling the world, doing all this stuff. It is not something we take lightly.
This show and the careers that we have started in the stands,
yeah,
at NYC with the and yeah, here we are now.
So it's a dream. So and the fact that we can call the homies up to just even bring this trophy is
bring the trophy around.
Bring the trophy. It's just like yeah, I mean it's a bit of a flex, I know. It means
I don't know what do you put this in a backpack? How do you bring this over here, bro? This city is
it was in a Pelican case.
It's
okay?
A beautiful Pelican.
It's a proper trophy. Yeah. Okay, I'm surprised he didn't make us wear gloves to wear it, hold it. So
beautifully,
it has a lot of grit, a lot of detail. Just a really dope thing. And even the Hudson River Derby, it's a foundation, am I right? And they do, both Red Bull and NYCFC fans do like charity work and a lot of good things for the community.
It has
a lot of meaning. So thank you again for bringing it by. We appreciate it. Everybody tuning in. If you're in New York, you'll probably see us at City Field. Either
rooting on the boys in blue,
exactly,
man.
Right? And what else? Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all socials. A reminder: we're on Blue Sky. If you want to go to a place that people are not celebrating the Trump dance, you can go there.
Come hang out with us there.
Come hang out with us there. No, you know what I mean. But it's dope. It feels like old Twitter, like we were talking about.
It
before.
It almost looks exactly like.
Yeah,
it,
yeah. Too. But it's
as if the people who owned it and sold. It moved over there.
So at soccercooligans.com on Blue Sky, and follow us everywhere else at Soccer Cooligans, and subscribe on YouTube if you have not yet, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
If you want New York City FC to win the game, hit the subscribe button. If you want the Rebels to win the game, also hit the subscribe button.
Bro, how about that?
And we'll take a poll at the end.
We'll see who voted for what. All right, y'all the best, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll see you next week on Monday. Cheers, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.